today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Bender, and today's episode is brought to you in part by Boost Analytics. Boost is a one-of-a-kind technology company that provides NBA-caliber analytics and video analysis to select number of men's and women's Division I basketball programs. Boost uses artificial intelligence and natural language technologies to create analytics that are more user-friendly and translate complex data into easy-to-read coaching insights. The Boost platform was designed by data scientists and basketball experts with decades of experience at both the collegiate and NBA levels. To learn more about Boost and how your team can gain a competitive edge, head on over to their website at www.boostsport.ai and join the fastest growing team in college basketball analytics. Also, if you're not already a member and interested in joining the largest coaching tree in basketball, visit risingcoaches.com to sign up today. You'll build genuine relationships with other coaches, have access to amazing content that allow you to develop your craft, expand your network, and see job opportunities on our member site that don't get posted anywhere else. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com. All right, today's special guest, all the way from Michigan, Macomb Community College head coach Hassan Nizam. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, coach. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on here. We met each other about 10 days ago. Your team kicked my team's butt at 9 a.m. in a regional, our little JUCO showcase over there in Georgia. We each travel, I think, the furthest of all the teams. So, Coach, I appreciate you kicking my butt, and that now I got to become friends with you so I can learn more about you.
Absolutely, Coach. It was a good game and a fun showcase to be a part of.
Definitely. We brought the energy and the juice at 9 a.m. It's nothing better than that. But give us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about your program and kind of how you got to where you are now.
Going into year two now as the head coach of Macomb Community College, we had a great year last year. As I was telling you earlier, I graduated high school in 2012 from Dearborn Fortson. Was planning on playing college ball at the NAIA level at Mary Grove College, and kind of always had the love for coaching and, you know, worked camps as a high school kid and coached little CYO leagues and leagues at Hype Athletics, which is the local rec center here in Metro Detroit area. And just always had a passion for it. Always felt like coaching was my calling. So, you know, before my fall semester, my freshman year, I went back to my high school coach and I said, hey, you know, if you have a job for me, I want to take it. You know, I want to get started. I was 17 years old, kind of was like, had the vision, really looked up to him and appreciated what he was able to do for me as a student athlete in his program, and kind of wanted to pay it forward and get started. And was fortunate to be on Coach Abouhassan's staff at Dearborn Fortson for a few years and coached freshman, JV, was a varsity assistant, started coaching a local AAU ball around that time. And then Taylor Langley, who's the head coach at Graceland University right now at the time, he took over at University of Michigan Dearborn, and I was fortunate that he allowed me to be a part of his staff for a year, kind of opened my eyes to the recruiting and player development and everything that college basketball is about and fundraising and all that stuff. And I was able to kind of start enjoying that part of it more. So was something that had really had fun with it. You know, I was kind of the same age as the players, so I was able to be on the court with them all the time and kind of help them and stuff like that. And, you know, I did that for a year and then applied for the head coaching job at Roseville High School. I was 21 years old at the time and was blessed and fortunate for that opportunity. You know, I got to spend 4 years with a great administration and a great community at Roseville. Had a lot of success, had a lot of good student athletes come through our program and were able to move on to the collegiate level. And through those years, was coaching AAU for the Michigan Warriors and most recently with the Family, which is the EYBL team out here in Michigan. And after 4 years at Roseville, was fortunate to get the job at Macomb CC. And, you know, our first year, I think the biggest thing that I learned from being at Roseville my first 4 years as a head coach is it's all about the people, you know, and being in Macomb, I was able to put together a great coaching staff and working under a great athletic administration with a great AD and SID. And the finishing touches and the most important part was getting some good players, you know. So we were lucky and we got some good ones last summer and they came in and they represented us the right way and we had a great season. And, you know, now we're looking to take the program to the next level.
There you go. So tell us a little about a few of your accomplishments that you guys did in your first year. So, you know, you took over that program and came from a high school, but you were able to do a lot of really good things in the first year. Give us some of the firsts that you did in that, you know, first year as a head coach.
Yeah, so we were able to win our first MCCAA conference championship. Oh, you know, they call it the state championship around here for some people do, but it was the first one in program history. We won the first Eastern Conference Championship at Macomb since 1983, so that was big for us. Won 25 games. We're undefeated at home in conference play. Beat a lot of good teams. And, you know, most important thing I'm most proud of, man, we had about 50 to 60 Division I coaches, Division II coaches come through our gym and recruit our guys. And, you know, I think we kind of built the foundation for a place where coaches want to recruit players because they know we're going to coach them up, we're going to hold them accountable, and we're going to try to replicate what they do at the four-year level to best prepare our guys for that and on and off the floor and in the classroom. So those things we're most proud of. You know, it was great to win some championships, but being able to move guys on and help guys get closer to degrees and stuff like that and accomplish things on and off the court, that was the thing we're most proud of from last season.
Yeah, it's really cool. And how did you go about doing that? So being a high school coach and having your EYBL ties a little bit, you know, at Dearborn, you're not always getting recruited, which is an advantage of being a junior college. How did you help? You know, you guys have done a good job with social media, but how have you kind of, you know, basically given your guys exposure and marketed your players?
Yeah, well, one thing I'll say is, so Macomb is the only community college in Michigan that has a full-time SID. So he's big time with that stuff. He helps our guys get exposure, and we're always doing the best job we can to promote our guys. And he's been a big extension of our coaching staff in terms of that. He was actually down there in Iowa and Georgia with us, you know, helping with highlights and game film and stuff like that. So that's huge. And then, you know, us as coaches just working the phones and building relationships with coaches at the four-year level and promoting our guys, you know, and doing everything we can for them. And not only helping them get there, but getting them there prepared.
Yeah, you mentioned something really important, and I use it a lot in recruiting as well. It's, hey, we try and run our program like a Division I. You know, everything that we do from, you know, watching film to how we lift, how we practice, how we do our preseason, how we do our postseason, how we do everything that we do as a program, even the coaches that we've hired. So you've assembled a staff that has, you know, college ties and also international ties. Yeah. You yourself has some different ties. What are some other things that you do from a program perspective that kind of translate to that four-year level and how you implement them? And you said on and off the floor, which is also extremely important. So how do you do those things?
I think, you know, the biggest thing we try to do to replicate it is have you know, it's a good regimen, daily structure, whether it's study hall or team lifts or getting shots up, getting work in with assistant coaches before and after practice, keeping it as structured as possible and keeping them busy, you know, so when they do get to the college level and they got to wake up for 6 a.m. lifts and then go to class and then come back for study hall and then get another workout in and then go to practice and do some homework. So it's not a shock to them. They've had that structure. They've had that daily accountability and so they get used to it. And also obviously it'll benefit us because as the season goes on, you start to see the reward of that structure and of that work the guys are putting in, but also for them, they understand what it takes to get to the next level. Like we tell our guys all the time, like just showing up to practice is not enough. You know, this game is highly competitive and there's players all around the country competing for the same scholarships you're competing for. So we try to urge them to separate themselves from that, you know, because at the end of the day, the higher you get, everybody works hard. So I just don't think it's just about working hard. It's about working smart. You know, we try to make sure we're doing the right things. And when we go from our summer lifts to our fall lifts to how we lift during the season, we tone it down a little bit when we start playing games and, you know, utilizing our shooting machines and our assistant coaches and just getting in the gym and making a certain amount of shots on a daily basis. And, but also I think it starts with who we recruit. You know, we want to recruit serious minded guys who are goal oriented, want to be coached, want that structure and crave that, that daily grind. You know, the motto of our program is, as we talk about all the time, it's GBED. You probably see the hashtag on Twitter sometimes that we use, just get better every day. That's our formula, and we believe in it. We live and die with it. So if we're getting 1% better every day on and off the court, good things are going to happen for us collectively. And we, you know, I've seen a tweet from coach at Oklahoma State. He said, out of all the players they got drafted in the NBA draft, only two players came from a losing program. So, you know, winning matters, and not necessarily just winning basketball games, but the daily winning habits. So that's what we're trying to promote on a daily basis. And you know, eating the right food, drinking water, getting the proper rest at night, waking up early, getting your work done. Those are all things that I think we try to implement, but also I got to give credit to our coaches and our incoming players, because not only are we looking for guys that want that, but we also have a dedicated staff who is spending time with our guys and helping them accomplish those things.
Yeah, always important to plug the staff. You know how it works. You gotta plug them. You got a good staff that's working with you. We kind of tag along some of the stuff that you just said. So we talk about a lot in my first conversation with my new team when I had them for a few days was, hey, we're not focusing on winning a championship. We're focusing on becoming champions. And this is what champions do. And like you said, developing those championship habits is extremely important. And going from there, I'd like to ask, you know, as you use your Get Better Every Day slogan and motto, 1% better, all really good things. And, you know, a lot of coaches talk about that stuff. Yep. How do you live it? How do you grade it? How do you make it tangible for you and your group and your coaches?
Well, I think, you know, it starts with us, you know, as coaches. We got to bring it every day. We got to bring consistent energy. We got to show up and show these guys that every single thing matters. You know, I remember a coach telling me, you know, in Rick Pitino's program, everything is a national championship, whether it's a recruit on a visit or a study hall or a team meeting or a film session or a shoot around. They treat everything like it's the national championship. So I think that's the approach we take. And like, for example, we were talking about how well we played the past two weekends, and we were able to win some games. And we told our guys before, I said, listen, it's summer basketball. It's not about winning. You know, we're here to develop as a team, but also help you guys get exposure. But at the end of the day, we're here to build those winning habits. So we're going to guard the basketball. We're going to be in the gaps. We're going to close out high hands. We're going to communicate screens. We're going to check out. We're not going to get beat in transition. And hey, if we win some basketball games these two weekends because we did those things, great. But ultimately, let's build those habits. And that's part of that get better every day mentality.
Exactly. We say every day is game day.
Yep.
It was funny. One of my assistants texted game day this morning, with, you know, the day of the game. And even one of our players responded to him, coach, I thought every day was game day. So they're learning one day at a time of what it looks like and moving forward. So you're a younger head coach. If I do the math right, you're probably around 28?
27.
27, sorry. I added a year to your life. You sound wise beyond your years. You know, even though you got a head coaching job at a very young age, how have you, you know, you already sound polished. You already sound like you know what you're talking about. Like, how did that come about? How'd you learn that? You know, how do you live that way? How have you done that and climbed the ranks at a quick manner in our profession?
Now, I mean, two things that stand out to me with that is, and I appreciate that, but two things that stand out to me is, one, I played for a really good high school coach who was young when he coached me. He was 25, 26 years old, and the way he carried himself, went about that business, I was able to learn from him and replicate that quick, the maturity that you got to show up every day with and the business approach, business-minded approach. And so that was great for me. I'm, you know, blessed with a lot of mentors. Like, I could consider some of the best coaches in the state of Michigan at all levels, high school, JUCO, D2, NAI, D3, and D1. Like, I have great mentors. Those guys have been great to me since I've been younger. And, you know, I've always had a passion for learning too. You know, ever since I was 17, 18 years old, I would just every day I was at a different division, between Division I, D2, NAI, all levels, D3, high school. I just love going to watch coaches run practices, and you just pick things up as you go. So from whether it was going out to University of Michigan and watching John Beilein's practices, or going to Madonna University, NAI in Southfield, and watching Coach Amenheiser run his, like, that's just what I love to do from a very young age, and I still do it. But I still have a bunch of booklets of written notes down from 7, 8, 9 years ago that I look at sometimes, and just brings back good memories. But also, you just learn, you know, refresh your memory a little bit from what you learned when you were younger. And things like this, the Rising Coaches podcast, the Basketball Coaches podcast, just picking coaches' brains, man, and just being a consistent learner. And that's what it's about for me. You know, it's I'll try to talk to my players about it and live by it and coach by it. A saying from J.J. Redick, he says, you've never arrived, you're always becoming. You know, so every day is a chance to get better. And J.J. talked about it when he was at Duke, or when he got to the NBA, from the 10th man to 7th man to starter to all-star to champ, whatever. You know, you've never arrived, you're always becoming. And I think, you know, when you stop learning, you stop growing. So you can never really get complacent and content. There's so much. You know, to me, the way I look at the game of basketball, you know, whether it's a drill or a play or a saying, or, you know, just calling an older coach and saying, hey, coach, this is the situation I'm dealing with. You know, how would you handle it? And them being able to tell me how they handled it 15 years ago or 20 years ago or, you know, whatever. So just stuff like that. I've been fortunate to have some really good good men and coaches in my corner who've helped me grow as a coach.
Yeah, always important to be the fastest learner in every room that you're in. You don't have to be the smartest, or maybe you got to find a different room to be in. They always say. What, you know, talked about lessons, you talked about learning. What lessons have taken you the longest to learn?
You know, I think just having a balance between holding guys accountable, having great relationships with them. I think, you know, being a young coach, sometimes it's like you're really close to their age. So I try to use that as an advantage. Like, I can relate to these guys and understand what they're going through. It wasn't too long since I stopped playing to started coaching. So I was able to relate to some of those guys, but also, like, you know, this, I just always felt like the stronger the relationship is, the harder you could coach them. And you know, early on, sometimes as a younger coach, just like, you think about not hurting anybody's feelings or anything like that. But as you go, you realize, like, one thing I try to coach by is if I love you, I care about your future more so than I might care about your feelings in that moment. So I got to tell you the hard truth sometimes, and maybe you're not going to like it in that moment, but you're going to appreciate it down the road, because you could look back and you could say, like, I have guys that will come back and say, coach, like, thank you for getting on me about not going to class or missing an assignment and making me run those sprints. And they didn't like it at the time, but I appreciate it now that I got my degree or stuff like that. So, you know, I think for me being a young head coach, like, the game has slowed down over the years, but every year that goes by, I realize that I know less. And there's so much more knowledge to attain that's out there in this game.
Yeah, very, very humbling and true. And what are some things? So you use the word accountability, and, you know, myself too, you know, I'm not as young, I guess, but I'm still young in comparison to most at our level and different things. But how have you held guys accountable? What, you know, do you talk about punishments? You talk about, you know, the relationships and trusting it. And, you know, basically what happens next can't be based on how you feel. How have you utilized accountability in kind of a more modern way when you first got to college here?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that helped me was creating a standard that it's not my way, it's our way. So if we have a standard that, hey, we're going to communicate and our practices are going to be loud, like, we're not doing it just because coach said so. We're doing it because that's our standard. That's our way. So I think if one thing I learned early on as well, if you could coach your best players hard, it's easy to coach everybody, you know, and not just because somebody's your leading scorer or has 15 Division I offers. You can let them off the hook with stuff. And I think players appreciate that when everybody's being held accountable and it's not coach's way or the highway. Like, I want this to be a two-way street. It's not a dictatorship. This is something that we're trying to do together. And, you know, in terms of accountability and stuff like that, I think, you know, being premature with not waiting until something happens to punish somebody, but more so educating on what our way is and what our standard is and getting guys to buy into that. And then they start to police each other. You know, it's not like, now I'm not going to do this just because coach said so. I'm going to do this because we all believe in it. And we all, you know, we all understand this is the right way to go about our business.
Besides modeling the way, what type of other techniques have you used to teach these young men what it is like to hold each other accountable and what it's like to police and what it's like to be, you know, how do you celebrate those positive behaviors of doing everything right rather than punishing for not doing it the way that's supposed to be done in your standards?
Yeah, I think for me, I try to relate it all to real life situations. And we talk about, the biggest thing we talk about is reliability. And, you know, quote from Phil Jackson that we talk about a lot is the strength of the team is you and the strength of you is the team. So, you know, we can relate it to life because the same way we're relying on you to get your job done and be the best version of yourself, it's the same way that your family, your spouse, your kids are going to be relying on you down the line. So just getting these guys to see the picture that everything we're doing here, we're not just here to teach you how to cross over or Euro step or finish off at 2 feet. Like, a lot of the things we do are going to relate to life, and just trying to, like we talked about earlier with those habits, To me, reliability is a big thing. Like we talk about get better every day. It's about being a better brother, a better son, a better grandson, about, you know, call grandma and check up on her on your way home from practice. Call my, you know, like take out the trail, like just little things like that where, you can go above and beyond for the people in your circle, for the people in your life, and you're going to be selfless about it. So I think the biggest thing is once you paint that picture that, look, guys, like when we're talking about showing up early, doing more, sacrificing, buying into your role, doing things like, you know, another thing we talk about, it's easy and convenient to do things the right way when things are going well for you. But how about when they're not? You know, that's the true testament to character and going through adversity and stuff like that. So just really all those situations and just painting that picture for guys that this is life. This is life. We're preparing for the real game, because when the ball stops bouncing, if we take all these lessons that we've learned and we take these good habits that we're able to build. And to me, the biggest habit is that we try to instill in these guys is how to deal with adversity, because we don't expect them to be perfect. And sometimes life is going to punch you in the face, and it's not about getting punched in the face. It's about how you respond to it, how you react to it. So I think, you know, making it bigger than basketball has been very important to us in having success in that area.
Besides doing the couple of big trips that you just took, and, you know, you're very fortunate you're able to get across, and I'm sure you drove a lot of those miles as well, but getting to Georgia from Michigan and getting to Iowa from Michigan, what other team activities or bonding things have you utilized to help build that culture, to help sustain that accountability and relationships and different things, especially in your first year moving into your second year?
Yeah, I think especially like during the season, we break bread together a lot. You know, we do a lot of team meals. We try to do as many team meals as possible together as a team. I think that builds relationships off the court. We do a lot of team bonding stuff, whether it's just having conversations about different topics. Like one example, we sit down and just, hey, like tomorrow, guys, we're going to have this conversation. I want everybody to come with whether it's their favorite song, lyric, quote, verse from the Bible or an author or just something. Bring something to the table and why it's important to you. And just different conversations like that to learn more about each other. And like when we were practicing at DMAC the other day before we played in Iowa, we were in the circle at the end of practice. And I just said, gave one of the kids the basketball and just pass it around. And whoever you pass it to, I want to hear two good things about them from you. In the short period we've known each other, what are two good things about them and what's one thing they got to improve on? And they were just having this different dialogue and conversation like that, and just empowering the group of, let us know who you are and let us know all that stuff, and just kind of doing different things like that. And that's been good for us. But I think spending time off the court is huge for us. And that's, you know, we talked about earlier how we were able to play so well. One thing we did when we first got down to Georgia the first night, we just hung out as a team and we watched the I think it was game six of the NBA finals, and just kind of just hung out and joked around with each other and got some good laughs in, and we took the court in the morning. It felt like we've been playing together for 4 years.
There you go. It looked like it when you guys played us too. What is one thing that you believe in that other people may think is weird?
Let me think. I think that, well, something that we believe in that others may think is weird.
Maybe you, maybe your program, maybe something you believe in that's like just way off the wall or way different or uncommon than the normal person that you just genuinely believe in.
Oh, I'll give you something. And one of my mentors actually told my team this last year, and it stuck with me, and we believe in this. So I think it was the year the Dallas Mavericks won the NBA championship with Dirk Nowitzki and those guys. They led the league in high fives. They led the league in high fives that year. So that's something to say, hey, could we lead the country in high fives? Whether it's a celebratory high five or whether it's a pick-me-up high five, just we're always vibing together and having that energy on the floor. And, you know, some might not think that's a big deal, but, hey, we believe in, and how many high fives could we get in a given practice or a given day?
Yep. Changes the attitude, which changes your perception. It also increases awareness.
Yeah,
which helps you be more present, which will increase your focus too. So I think that's all. It may seem different or uncommon, but it is true, because it does translate to those things in a very unique way. Anything specific that you found know, to work that was relatively simple at the JUCO level that maybe you did at the, you know, EYBL level or at the high school level or at NAI level that, you know, you may have been like, I don't know if I'm ready to coach college. And then you got there and you're like, this stuff is not that much different. Like, give us a few examples of some of the stuff that you kind of went through basketball wise that you thought that you were ready for and maybe that you weren't ready for.
Right. I was a little interested to see how, you know, I like been an assistant at the college level, but I'm coming in after 4 years of doing that and having a shot clock, you know, and how that would affect what we did offensively. But it, you know, it was kind of something that we were able to adjust to real quick. And I was fortunate last year to have a point guard who had NCAA experience and a two guard who had NCAA experience and multiple guys on that roster had played college basketball. So it made the transition easier for me. But I think it was a lot of it was the same. I think the biggest difference for me was like in high school, you play great defense, you get a stop. At the JUCO level, you play great defense, and then a really good player hits a really tough shot, and you just can't let it phase you. You just get the ball out and go, you know. So the talent level, obviously a lot more weapons on the floor, and the game was a little bit faster. But I think in terms of the principles, you know, like little things, like maybe as a high school coach, you could help a little bit more off of the strong side corner, where at this level you kind of don't want to, and little things like that based on personnel. But you know, it's been kind of the same philosophy. Like, you know, we you know, everyone talks about getting kills, which is three stops in a row, and same mentality. If you get six kills in a game, you know, we have a 95% chance to win. It's something that we statted and kept along. So just kind of took the same approach, you know, as a high school coach. And, you know, I had great coaching staff, great players. We were fortunate to always be a top defensive team in our conference and lead the conference in points allowed per game and stuff like that. So I tried to have the same mentality here, and we were top five defensively in a lot of different categories, field goal percentage defense and points per game and three-point field goal percentage and blocks per game and steals per game. And I took the same mentality. Like 4 or 5 years ago, the Final Four, a young 10-year-old reporter from Sports Illustrated asked Frank Martin defensively, what's more important when you're coaching your team, attitude or technique? And I thought it was such a cool question coming from a 10-year-old especially. And coach said attitude, because if we have the right attitude defensively, when our technique catches up, we're going to be really good. So that's kind of what we tried to focus on this summer and even last year without having those jamborees early. And you've seen us play, we tried to have the right attitude defensively, that we're going to play hard, we're going to be in a stance, we're going to jam cutters and do all those things and make it tough to get scored on. And as long as we have the right attitude, and even if it takes our full technique till February to catch up, when our technique catches our attitude, we're going to be pretty good defensively. But if we're teaching technique like crazy, but we don't have the right attitude, now you're kind of setting the limit on yourself, because you're probably not going to play as hard as it takes to be a really good defensive team. So I've always been a defensive-minded coach from that approach, and just the fact that, like, if we could get these guys to understand that if you don't take any plays off, if we contest every single shot, if we make it hard to ever score on us in a non-5-on-5 setting, meaning we're always back, we're always digging down and trying to dig out stops, in the long run, we'll be okay. So that from high school to college, I think that's been the same mentality for me. Like, let's just be really hard to get scored on. And when we do get scored on, how quickly can we get it out of the net and go? And that kind of leads us, like, how many stops and rebounds can we get? And let's get out in transition, and let's put our talent on display.
For sure. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess this. So your region is region 12, is that correct?
Yeah.
There's like 20-something teams in that region. Is that the largest conference in any basketball? 25 teams?
Yeah, it's the largest conference, and it's also absolutely loaded. You know, our region is really, really good. You know, our Eastern Conference of the MCCAA always has 4 or 5 perennial powers in any given year. The Western Conference always got some good teams. The Ohio Community College Association's always got a few teams. So it's big, and it's very talented. So, like, there's some teams that probably didn't play in the live periods that are also really good teams from this area. So it makes for an ultra-competitive conference play, and then also a region to get to nationals. So, you know, for us, it's like last year we came in, we absolutely loaded up our schedule in non-conference. We were supposed to play like 5 or 6 D1s, and We weren't able to do so because of COVID, so we're taking advantage of it this non-conference season, playing Vincennes and John Logan and Southeastern Iowa and a bunch of different D1s and really good D2s, and hopefully that puts us in position to have some success in Region 12 and make it to Danville.
There you go. Hope to see you there. That's the plan.
That's the plan.
So you're a member of Rising Coaches. Is there anything, you know, any questions I should have asked that I haven't that you would kind of tell other Rising Coaches or other people in the organization or any, maybe some of our listeners, anything that I should have asked that I haven't?
Yeah, I think you missed any questions, but one thing I would say for any coaches watching or listening, young coaches in particular, like one thing that I've learned is, you know, be where your feet are at and do the best job you can working for the people that you're entrusted with. And I heard something on a podcast the other day from Coach Manny from Western Michigan. He says, you know, God will give you something bigger if you honor where you're at. So I think sometimes as young coaches get caught up in what's next and stuff like that, and you might lose sight of the now. So I've always, again, having great mentors and getting great advice all the time, I've always felt like it's very important to just focus on the student athletes that you're entrusted with, the program that you're at, the community that you're representing. Also heard something in a podcast the other day. So from Coach Beilein, he talked to the crowd at the Iowa showcase this weekend. They had it going on in the auditorium, and he said, like, he was the head coach at Lake Erie Community College back in the day. And he said, guys, like, whether you're a high school coach, JUCO coach, like, there's thousands of people who would do anything to have your job. So, I think for younger coaches, I think just be a star where you're at. That's what I've always tried to do. And make sure you're networking and putting yourself in a position where you're building genuine relationships, not just relationships where it's about favors or this or that, but just genuine relationships where you could build them and grow from them and serve each other. It's such a beautiful game, and there's so many great people to meet. I always say that 95% of my relationships in life outside of my family were grown through the game of basketball. You know, whether it's somebody I played with or coached against or coached, or so it's such a beautiful game in those regards. And I think we tend to always look, and I'm probably guilty of it myself, but I think the most important thing is to be a servant leader and do the best job you can where you're at, and really have some gratitude for it all the time. Because, you know, if for me, I would consider myself a very lucky man if all I do for the rest of my life in terms of a professional career is coach basketball, you know, and that's a blessing within itself. And also the part of it where you get to impact lives. Like, I think we get, you know, kind of competitive sometimes. You're focused on winning and losing and stuff like that, but you know, at the end of the day, we're here to help student athletes and young men mature and young adults and have success in their walk of life. So that stuff is something that's very important to me. And having had been fortunate to be a head coach at a young age, like I talk to managers or GAs, and they would tell me, like, man, I wish I could do what you're doing. And I would tell them, like, I would love to do what you're doing, you know. So it's like, that's the unique part of coaching, is there's no scripted route. There's no defined way to get where you want to get to. So I just feel like, you know, just do right by the people you're entrusted with, build good, healthy relationships and work hard. You know, there shouldn't be, you know, if you're in this game, serving those student athletes, serving those players should be the number one priority. And for myself and my staff right now, we know what our job is. You know, we're trying to bring guys in, coach them up, and do everything we can to get them to where they want to get to at the next level, also while getting a degree in the process. So that's our goal. That's what we want to do. And that's our priority every single day. So I think my advice to younger coaches or guys getting in this profession is just be a star in your role. You know, whether you're a GA or an assistant or a head coach or a third assistant or whatever your role is, be a star in that role and work hard for the young men in your program, and you'll be fine in the long run.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. That was Rising Coaches in a nutshell right there. Be present. Be where your feet are. Comparison is a thief of joy. Yep. Don't compare your journey to anyone else. You're running your own race, and you're doing a great job running yours. And looking forward to seeing, you know, how you guys compete and finish this year. And obviously it's not always outcomes, but keep changing lives, keep doing the right things. And I appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Absolutely, Coach. I appreciate you, and looking forward to see what you do with the program this year.
Thanks.